Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Sherman Daf Yomi. We are now in the Darim Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Bet, taking a look at Mishnah Hey of the 10th Perek, Perek Narahmu Rasav Masach in the Darim. Bogeret Sheshahata Shneim Asar Chodesh, and we've already repaired this text to read Bogeret Vishashahata Shneim Asar Chodesh, if a girl is a Bogeret or a Na'ara or younger who has waited 12 months, a Bogeret waits only 30 days, after the time that she has requested that her fiancé marries her. From that point on, if you recall from the Mishnah in Tubot Perek Hey, the fiancé is obligated to start feeding her. This is a fine to try to push him along to marry her more quickly. In such a case, Fiamanash Shloshim Yom, or an Almanah who has waited 30 days, well, an Almanah and a Bogeret both get 30 days, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Ho'il V'alach Hayavim Zonateh Hayafer, Rabbi Eliezer says that since the fiancé now has to support her, therefore he does Hafarat Nedarim, meaning a virtual husband is enough, V'chachamim Omrim En Habal Mefer Ad Shtikanes L'Shuto, Chachamim disagree and say that a husband does not do Hafarat Nedarim until she enters his domain, meaning he has to be an actual husband. Now, Amar Rabba, Rabbi Eliezer, Mishnah Rishona Amru Davar Chad, Rabbi proposes that we view Rabbi Eliezer's position as being consistent with the Mishnah Rishona in Masechet Ketubot. So if you recall, in Masechet Ketubot, in Perek Hamishi, it's the Mishnah appears on Daf Nun Zayin in Ketubot, the Mishnah presented this notion that once 12 months have passed, or for Bogeret or Almanah 30 days has passed from the moment of Tviyah, not from Erusin, but from the moment after Erusin, that she or her family demand that he go through with the marriage, he has to start supporting her. The Mishnah then continued and said, as a result of that, Ochlot Mishalo ve'ochlot bitruma, that if he is a Kohen, she starts eating Truma even though she's not in his house. That's the position of Mishnah Rishona. And then there's a three-way machloket between Tanaim, how much he gives her of Truma, how much is Chulin. And then the Mishnah Achrona, phrased as Beit Din Shal Acharehem, said that in no case does a woman eat Truma until she actually enters the domain of her husband, the Kohen. So we are positing that Rabbi Eliezer is consistent with the earlier ruling about Truma, Mishnah Rishon, Amru Davar Achad, that none, only the two last names of Chodesh, the Farnes Atzma, Igea Yubet Chodesh, Ochelet Mishalo, Veochelet Bitruma. Again, after 12 months, she eats, the husband has to support her, and if he's a Kohen, she eats Truma. Avalayavam, Eno Machil Bitruma, parenthetically, the Avam does not, in other words, if she was married to a Kohen and the Kohen died and she's waiting for Yibum, particularly Avam, let's say, performed Ma'amar, so these two are going to get married, and some time has passed, the Avam's presence does not feed Truma. If there were 6 months, she was betrothed, and then after 6 months, the fellow died before marrying her, and now there's 6 months with the Avam. Or even if it was 11 months and 29 days, and then the fiancé died, and then the Avam comes along, or let's say the fiancé died a day later, and the next rest of the year, nearly all the year, was done under the Avam. So the notion is that the Avam does not have an independent status. The question is, what happens if the Avam has a full 12 months? That's a different issue. Nonetheless, it's all moot, because Beit Din Shel Acharei Mamru, Hinao Shel Acha B'Truma Shekanes L'Chupa. Rabbah suggests that Rabbi Eliezer is adopting the position of Mishnah Rishona and saying that a virtual husband is considered halachically a husband, and, of course, by implication, Chachamim are adopting the position of Mishnah Achrona that only an actual husband is considered a husband. That's Rabbah's proposal. Amar Le'Abaye Dilmalohi. Abaye tries to bust this alignment. It says, Ad kam lo kashmin and Mishnah Rishona, maybe the Mishnah Rishona over there was only talking about Alon Mechel Truma Derabanan, the ability to feed her truma, which may be truma derabanan, truma bisman hazeh, trumat yerek, etc. Avon the dorim doraita imalo. Maybe even the Mishnah Rishona there would not agree that a virtual husband could do a farad in dorim, because that's doraita. Or flip it, viadkan lo shamat leil Rabbi Eliezer. Where do we know about Rabbi Eliezer legaben nedarim that he allows hafarat nedarim? Krapinchas mishpeh de Rava, who we will meet again soon. The Amarkon noderet al dat ba'alei noderet. That we have an umdana, an assumption that when a woman takes a neder, she's taking the neder based on the assumption of agreement or refusal of her husband. Which means that if there's a man who's supporting her, that's the one she's thinking about. Which means that even though this fellow for other purposes may not be considered her husband, for Nedarim he may be, because as we've seen throughout Masechet Nedarim, Nedarim is really an insular discipline, because it revolves much around the current meaning of words and upon the intention of the person taking the neder. And therefore, if the woman takes the neder, even though Rabbi Eliezer may agree that this guy can't feed her truma if he's a kohen, nonetheless, maybe he does a farin and doim, because that's who she's thinking about when she takes the neder. Aval truma, afilim rabbanan, nami lo achla. But perhaps he would agree that even truma rabbanan, the kohen husband could not feed her until she actually enters his domain. Okay, the next Mishnah, Mishnah Vav, is a shomeret yavam, what we call a yivama. Bein li yavam echad, bein shnei yivamin, Rabbi Eliezer mer yafer. You may recall that we dealt with this issue in the second chapter of Masechet Yevamot in the sugya of Zika. A shomeret yavam, bein li yavam echad, bein shnei yavamin, whether or not she fell to one brother or two brothers, two meaning two or more, Rabbi Eliezer mer yafer. Rabbi Eliezer says he may do afar. Now the question, of course, immediately comes with who's the he? If she falls to two or three or four brothers, who is the he who's doing hafara? Any of them? Is the oldest one? Who are we talking about? We will see. Rabbi Yeshua mer lachad aval lo lishtam. Rabbi Yeshua says, only if there is one brother, may that brother do hafara, but if there are multiple brothers, none of them may. Rabbi Kiva mer lo lachad aval lo lishtam. Rabbi Kiva says, none of it, not one, not two. In no case is there hafara in darim until she actually marries the fellow. Now we're going to hear the argumentation. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer's argument why hafaret and darim should work with a yivama, ma'im isha shekanahu la'atzmo. In the case where you betroth a woman and you did your own kinyan on your own, harehu mefrin darea, you're able to repudiate her nedarim. Isha shekzonu min hashamayim, a woman who was handed to you by heaven. She married your brother, nothing to do with you, they didn't have kids, the brother died, so heaven brought her to you. Certainly, you should be able to be made for nedarim. The logic behind this argument is that your relationship with her is closer, not so much that it has divine approval, but that the kinyan is stronger because it's a kinyan that's not voluntary, it's a kinyan that is a mitzvah. Any other girl that you betroth, it's up to you. You like her, she likes you, you betroth her. But here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this is the mitzvah. You've got an obligation to maintain your brother's memory, etc., and therefore you have to marry her. That's Rabbi Eliezer's argument. Amar lo Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva said back, said, lo, imamarte b'isha shekanahu la'atzmo. When we know you do hafarat nedarim in a case where you do the kinyan yourself, meaning a betrothed girl, shein lachem b'rishut, of course, because no one else could possibly have reshut over her. You betrothed her until such time as you either die or give her a divorce. She's yours and yours alone. Tomar b'isha shikrol min hashamayim, but you can't say that about a woman who was handed to you by heaven, as it were. Sheish lachem b'rishut, because after all, others also have potential domain over her, and that means other brothers. So now, Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Yeshua says to Rabbi Akiva, Akiva, remember, Rabbi Yeshua was Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe, so was Rabbi Eliezer. Dvarecha b'shnei yevamin, what you're talking about only works as a successful argument against a case of multiple yevamin, because there is indeed another person who has some reshut. However, ma'ata meshiva yevam achad, what will you say about the argument I stated, which is in the case of one yevam, that he could do hafarat nedarim? Amar lo ena yevama gmura liyevam, k'shem yesh arusa gmura liisha. A yevama is not fully connected to the yavam in the way that an arusa is fully connected to her husband or to her betrothed. Now that's an interesting twist, because that means that the relationship between a man and his arusa is stronger than the relationship between a yavam and a shomeret yavam. Okay, but we will see at the end of the Gemara what is the gist of that argument. Now, let's look at these positions. Rabbi Akiva, we understand, we understand Rabbi Akiva's position. He holds Ein Zika. If you recall our discussion in the second parak of Yevamot, and a principal issue in Yevamot is the issue of Zika. Zika means that, to put a very short twist on a very long and intricate issue, Zika means that when a woman falls to her brother-in-law, there is already a relationship between them. that carries with it all sorts of halachic implications. Classic example is, of course, if a man is betrothed to a girl and his brother is married to her sister, and then the brother dies and the sister falls to you, it is indeed possible that if there is a zikah, then you would have to divorce the fiancé because she's now achot zekukato. Rabbi Akiva holds ein zikah, which means that when a woman falls to you, there is a mitzvah to do yibum or to do chalitza, but there is not yet a built-in relationship, and therefore there's no reason to put hafarat nedarim on the table. Rabbi Yeshua savar yesh zikah, and we understand Rabbi Yeshua says that if there's one yavam, yesh zikah, because he is the only potential mate, and therefore the zikah is clearly directed between the girl and this brother alone. Elo Rabbi Eliezer my tame. Why does Rabbi Eliezer say that even if there's multiple yavamim, nonetheless there is still hafarat nedarim? Ie zika, even if he holds their zika in Brera, we still have the problem of Brera, which is retroactive clarification. Brera is a discussion that takes place in Gittin and several other places in Yevamot. When you have a circumstance where there are multiple possibilities available and you choose one, and then after the fact, we now retroactively understand what was the choice. The question is, does that give any meaningful indication as to what the choice was at the point of origin? So here, the girl falls to three brothers, let's say. In the end, one of the brothers is going to do yibum. But can we say that that retroactively clarifies that that brother all the time was the avam? Generally, we say ein brera. In practice, we say, in brera b'doraita, yesh brera b'darbanan, but this is all doraita, so it's moot. In brera. So how could Rabbi Eliezer say that if there are multiple brothers, one of them could do hafara? So, Amar Rabbi Ami, and we're going to get back to Rabbi Ami in a little bit. Kigon shasabam amar. Just a reminder, again, since we've been studying the Darim, and Darim is one of the most insular masachtot that we have, we've dealt with other subjects very little. But we have to remember that in the world of Yibum, the Chachamim were concerned that the act of Yibum as the first contact between sister-in-law and brother-in-law was smacked of a lack of tzniut, and therefore they instituted midrabanan, a form of formal betrothal that was akin to kiddushin, and it's referred to as ma'amar. And ma'amar has the effect of designating that this particular brother is going to marry this particular wife. Remember, yibum could also occur where a man died and had several wives and didn't have children, and any one of the wives is a candidate for yibum. Any of the brothers is a candidate to be the yavam. So if one of the brothers does ma'amar with one of the girls, all the rest of the wives, they're not free to go. However, they are now blocked out of the possibility of yibum, perhaps, and all of the other brothers perhaps are blocked out. Ma'amar is a form of designation. So now, Rabbi Ami says that what is Rabbi Eliezer talking about? A case where one of the brothers did ma'amar, and now that brother has a closer relationship with this girl than any of the other brothers, and therefore he can do hafara. Rabbi Eliezer, savar laka beit shammai, and he holds like beit shammai, which is an entire developed shita that we discussed in Masachet Yevamot. Da'ami ma'amar kone kinyan gamur. Beit Shammai is of the opinion that ma'amar is a full kinyan. And that leads to all sorts of unique positions of Beit Shammai when it comes to a tzarat, achot ishto, etc., situations like that were dealt with in the third and fourth prakim of Masachet Yevamot. In any case, Beit Shammai holds that ma'amar is a full kinyan, and as such, if brother A does ma'amar on the girl, then there's a full kinyan between them, and he can do hafarat nedarim. Now, we have a little problem with that, but we'll get to it in a minute. Rabbi Yeshua, what's Rabbi Yeshua's response? Omer lecha, hani mili b'chad yavam. He says this is only true if there's one yavam. Aval b'shnei yavamin lo. He'll just say that ein zika when there's multiple yavamin. And what's his argument? Mi'ika mididichiati achuhi asar alei bevia o begita v'umefer. How could you have a situation where if one of the other brothers was to just jump in and either have bia with the girl or give her a get? This is called get yavamin. It's sort of the anti-ma'amar. It would also invalidate her. Here's the scenario. Brother A, there's three brothers, A, B, and C. Brother A performs ma'amar on the wife. Fine, but if brother B steps in and hands her a get yevamim, that invalidates her from having yibum even with brother A. She now has to get chalitza. Or let's say brother B was to go in and to have yibum with her, then that invalidates her from A. It actually invalidates her from all of them. But that means that Rabbi Yeshua says that after all, even if brother A did ma'amar, she is not sealed off from the other brothers, and therefore you cannot compare multiple yevamim to a case of yevam echad. That's Rabbi Yeshua's answer. Rabbi Kiva Savar, to Kiva's answer, ein zika. That's very simple. He says ein zika. Therefore, until you actually marry, there is no relationship. Ulu Rabbi Eliezer. Important note, this is really Rabbi Elazar, who is an Amora, not to confuse him with Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar, who is an Amora, he minimizes the impact of Beit Shammai's position on Ma'amar. And he says that Beit Shammai, when it comes to Ma'amar, doesn't say it's a full kinyan and they're ki'ilu married, but rather it's strong enough of a kinyan that it pushes all of the other tzarot away and they are no longer viable candidates for Yibum. And that's the only impact of Ma'amar that really carries any teeth with it. So Ma'ikel Ma'amar, according to that position, how could Rabbi Eliezer, the Tana, say that with multiple Yevamim, one of them, even if he did Ma'amar, could do Hafarat Nedarim? After all, they are not connected, they've just deflected others. The answer is that we're talking about a case where that Yevam who did Ma'amar was then called to the Beit Din and said, you did Ma'amar, and it's been a few months, and you haven't married her. Either marry her, or you're also going to have to start supporting her, feeding her, or else do chalitza, but if you refuse to do that, you're going to have to start supporting her, feeding her, and of course we're doing that to spur him on to go ahead and do yibum. So in such a case where he's already supporting her, Uchra Pinchas Mishurin de Rava, I promised you we'd get back to this, where Pinchas quotes Rava saying, any woman takes a neder based on the presumptive agreement or possible rejection by her husband. And who is her husband in this case? The man who is supporting her, even though they're not yet married. So now Rabbi Eliezer will say as follows, if a woman fell, based on everything we've developed, if a woman falls to multiple brothers, and one of the brothers performs ma'amar, then, according to everybody else, Rabbi Eliezer holds like Beit Shammai, according to everybody else, besides Rabbi Elazar the Amora, that itself would be enough. He did Ma'amar, they're connected, he could do Hafarat Nedarim. According to Rabbi Elazar's take of Beit Shammai, we'd have to say that a little bit more than that happened. He was already delinquent in marrying her, and Beit Din started garnishing his wages to support her, or forced him to support her and take care of her mizonot. And at that point, her ned, any nedder she takes, is already going to be connected with his acceptance or rejection, and therefore he is the mefer. Now, Tnan, watch this. We have a Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Uma Yimisha Shekana La'atzma, Rehu Mefer Ndareha. In our Mishnah, what was the argument? Rabbi Eliezer said, Kal v'chomer, if a woman who you're kona by yourself, in other words, a regular woman, Harehu Mefer Ndareha, you can be Mefer Ndareim, Isha Shekana La'min HaShemayim, a woman who was handed to you by heaven, and Odin She Mefer Ndareha. And according to Rabbi Yami, the case here is that the fellow did ma'amar. Well, that was not hiknulam in Hashemayim. He acted. He wasn't just sitting there and his brother died and she was handed to him. V'imishasa ma'amar kanal atzmohu. He did the kinyan himself. So we fix it. We say, kanal atzmo ayudei shemayim. In other words, the way we modify Rabbi Eliezer's Kal v'chomer is a woman who you totally initiated the relationship on your own and made a kinyan, you could do Hafarat Nedarim. A woman who you acted on a relationship that was initiated by heaven, certainly. Okay. Now, perhaps this will help us solve a problem Rabba asks in Yevamot. Tifshot de Bayi Rabba. This may help us solve Rabba's question. Ma mother Beit Shammai, erusin oseh onisuin oseh. Remember, this question is only valid according to Beit Shammai. But according to Beit Shammai, what is the impact of Ma'amar? Does it make her equivalent to an arusa or to a nisua? That will have an impact if he's a kohen, and she dies at that point. Will he go to her funeral? Does he yoresh her, etc.? Now, tifshot onisuin oseh. We should infer from Rabbi Eliezer's position that Ma'amar, in Beit Shammai's world, Ma'amar is equal to Nisuin. Why? De Erusin also said, because if it is only equal to Erusin, Hatan Nar Murasa V'Yavalim Frindera. The first Mishnah Perek said that a Nara HaMu'urasa has to have the cooperation of her father and her husband, or her fiancé, in order to be made for Nedarim. So if the Yavam is considered, who does Ma'amar, is considered to be equal to a betrothed, a fiancé, then the father should also be part of the Mishnah. But the father is not mentioned in the Mishnah, and we assume that our Mishnah continues with the same scenario as the earlier part of the Perek, where the girl is a Na'ara. Right, so that should prove that a Ma'amar is like Nisuin. So Rachman Yitzchak says, no, that's not the case, because maybe Yafer means he is able to be Mayfair, of course, with the cooperation of the father, who's not mentioned because it's assumed. Now, Tanya Nami Hachi Rabbi Ami. The Gemara here states that we have a Braita that supports Rabbi Ami's contention that Rabbi Eliezer's position only works if one of the Yavamim did Ma'amar. And now we'll have a Braita, and then we're going to have to figure out how this Braita supports Rabbi Ami. Shomeret Yavam, Ben Yavam, Echad Ben Shnei Yavamin, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Yafer. It's exactly like our Mishnah. Rishu Omer, Lachad V'lo Shnayim. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Lo Lachad V'lo Shnayim. That's the Mishnah. However, in this Braita, the presentation of the argument is a little different. I'm Rabbi Eliezer. What's Rabbi Eliezer's argument? Why even Shnei Yavamin? Umay Misha She'en Lo Chelek Ba. If a woman with whom he has no relationship or connection, Ad Shlo Tavo L'Rishuto, before she becomes his. And that's a regular woman you betroth. Mishabat l'shutot nigmaralo, but once she becomes yours, she's fully yours. Isha sheyesh lo chelek ad shelo tavor l'shutot. So a woman with whom you do have some sort of a connection, she's your yevama, before she becomes yours. Mishabat l'shutot nadin shetigmarlo. So certainly, when she becomes into your domain, certainly she should become fully yours. Now remember, Rabbi Eliezer here is not arguing for a woman who you already did Yibum with. He's arguing about a Shomeret Yavam, a woman who you have not yet done Yibum with. And yet he's saying, once she's come into your Rishut, certainly it should be fully yours to do Hafarat and Darim. Keep that in mind. Amalo Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva answered back to his Rebbe, Rabbi Eliezer. Lo, imamarta bi isha shekanahu le'atzmo. If you apply it, say it about a woman who you are kone yourself. Shekshem she'en lo chelek ba, kach en lachem chelek ba. Just like you had no connection with her, so nobody else, your brothers, nobody else had a connection with her. Tomer bi isha shekno min hashamayim. You can't apply that via kal v'chomer to a woman who was given to you, quote unquote, by heaven. Shekshem she'esh lo ima chelek, kach yesh lachem chelek ba. After all, just as you have a connection with her, so others do. Others, of course, being other brothers. And now, just like in the Mishnah, Rabbi Kiva first deflated the multiple Yivamim scenario. Amar Rabbi Shua, so Rabbi Shua says to his student, Akiva, Dvarecha b'shnei Yivamim, your argument is valid against my colleague Rabbi Eliezer's position. Ma'atam Yeshiva Yavam Echad, what will you say about my position where you won Yavam? Nobody else has Rishut. Amar Leklum Chalakno Yavam Echad v'shnei Yivamim. Rabbi Kiva says there is no reason to distinguish between one Yavam and two Yavamin, ben sha'asaba ma'amar, ben shalo asaba ma'amar. And there's no reason to distinguish between a case where you did or didn't do ma'amar. Now, that's the Braita. At the end of the Braita, we have Uchshar Dvarim Kenedarim. And then Rabbi Kiva adds a footnote, which I call the footnote on the page, just as it is with Nedarim, so it's with other things. We'll see what that means. Now, Lashon Azamar Ben Azai, who heard this, then said, Chaval Alecha Ben Azai, woe to you, Ben Azai, about himself, Shelo Shimashtet Rabbi Akiva, you didn't apprentice Rabbi Akiva properly, you could have learned so much more. Rabbi Akiva is so brilliant. Now, the question is, Tanya Kavateri Rabbi Ami, how does this bright to support Rabbi Ami's contention that Rabbi Eliezer is talking about a case where he did Ma'amar? Diktani Ben Shasabamar, Ben Shelo Asabamar. Answer one is because, in Rabbi Akiva at the end says, we don't distinguish between whether or not he did Ma'amar, indicating that one of the arguments brought up was a case where Ma'amar happened. Inami Mireisha Diktani, if you look at the earlier phrase, Bishin Nechasal or Shuton Nigmaralo. What did Rabbi Eliezer say as part of his Kal V'chomer? He said, here's a woman who you had nothing to do with, and yet when she comes into your Rashut, she's fully yours. And so the Kal V'chomer, a woman who you did have a connection with, when she comes into your Rishut, Nigmaralo, indicates that you did something more than just stand around. You did Ma'amar. Vida lo kaddish, my Nigmaralo. If you didn't do Kiddushin, you didn't do Ma'amar, what's the Nigmaralo? Good. So Tif Shot Mine, Shasaba Ma'amar. So we can prove from either one of these lines in the Braita that we assume Rabbi Eliezer's position being where he did Ma'amar, as Rabbi Ami said. Okay, now the end of the Braita said, Uchshar Dvarim Kein Nedarim. Just like Nedarim similarly we apply it to other things. What does that mean? Rav Achitani, meaning Iyata Modesh and Chayvin Skila Kenara Murasa. So Rabbi Kiva, as part of his argument, said, don't you agree? And this is what the end of our Mishnah was, that hey, a Mivama is not as Gmura as an Arusa is that don't you agree that if a Na'arah Murasa, we all know it, if a Na'arah Murasa sleeps with another man while she's betrothed to one man, she's Chayv Mita, she's Chayv Skila. And we certainly know that a Yivama is not. A Yivama, who has relations with somebody else, is Chayavit Malkot. It's a love. Lo Tia Ishtame Tachutza. It's in Machloket Rav and Shmua, whether or not Kiddushin Mitofes in such a case. So certainly that relationship is not as strong. Amar Vashi, Manitin Namideka, Ein Yivama Gmura Leisha, Kashem Sha'arusa Gmura Leisha. Rav Ashi said, if you look at the end of our Mishnah, you'll see, if you read it carefully, you'll see that exact point, where it says that a Yivama is not connected to her husband in the same way to the Yavam as they, as a Arusa is to her husband. What does that mean? She's not as tightly bound, which means that a violation of that relationship does not carry as severe of a penalty. So therefore, the last line of the Braita, which is Kishar Dvarim Kenedarim, means that Rabbi Akiva is using other things outside of the world of Nedarim, meaning the punishment for a violation of that relationship, as proof that in the world of Nedarim, it should not be considered as intense, and therefore a Yavam cannot perform Hafarat Nedarim until he has married the girl. Okay, we will continue the next podcast at this point. In the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.